This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A native West Virginia plant known for its soggy environment thrives in conditions you might not expect.
So this is actually only a couple of months after a fire, and you can see how much there's already vegetation that's, you know, knee to waist high out here. There's mushrooms coming up everywhere.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. Governor Jim Justice declined to participate in a Senate debate with his opponent, former Wheeling Mayor Glenn Elliott. Caleb Bailey has more.
During his Thursday afternoon press briefing, Justice said he was not interested in a Senate debate, adding, "The race is over." This comes after Attorney General Patrick Morrissey agreed to debate Huntington Mayor Steve Williams in the gubernatorial race. Elliott said he would debate Justice.
"It doesn't surprise me that Jim Justice has no interest in debating me. Frankly, he has shown very little interest in actually being governor."
The two candidates did both respond to issue-based questions from the Dominion Post, an article published on Tuesday. On Thursday, Justice referred to the Post interview as a little debate. While the two candidates were on the same Zoom call, they did not directly respond to each other. The newspaper's candidate Zoom invitations and interview rules state, "This is an interview, not a debate." For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Keelan Bailey.
An Appalachian Power rate increase for residential customers is off the table for now. Curtis Tate has more.
The West Virginia Public Service Commission late Wednesday dismissed Appalachian Power's application for a $265 million revenue increase. It would have raised residential customer rates by 17%, or roughly $28 a month. The commission's docket was peppered with comments and opposition from residents, local governments, and school districts. Ultimately, the PSC found problems with Appalachian Power's August filing and dismissed it because it was missing information. It is expected that the company will refile the application, sparing electricity customers another rate increase at least for a while. Other smaller increases the PSC approved took effect this month. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Curtis Tate in Charleston.
The largest paranormal gathering in the eastern U.S. happens this weekend in Point Pleasant. The annual Mothman Festival commemorates the sighting of an infamous red-eyed winged legend. Randy Yowie has more.
What started out in 2003 with three folding tables has grown to thousands coming in from around the country and the globe to revel in all things Mothman. Back in 1966, some Mason County locals spotted a mysterious red-eyed flying whatever it was. Area school children were sheltered in place. And as festival co-founder Jeff Wamsley explains, the Mothman legend grew.
There was a professor from WVU that came in and said it was a sandhill crane. You know, one guy said it was as big as an airplane. Some of the original witnesses said that it resembled a man, you know, with wings and those prominent red eyes.
This Saturday and Sunday, costumed creatures will fill Point Pleasant's Main Street, listen to renowned paranormal guest speakers, and take selfies with the giant Mothman statue. Point Pleasant Tourism Director Denny Bellamy says a festival highlight begins after dark. That's when hayrides will loop the brave and curious through the abandoned World War II TNT bunkers where the black behemoth was first sighted.
It kind of brings that whole thing to life when you see the area out there and know that it's an abandoned facility where they made the explosives for the nuclear bomb.
Bellamy says with more than 70 Mothman television shows shot in the past 3 years, Point Pleasant is the most filmed community in West Virginia. He says for all the paranormal people, other than Roswell, New Mexico, the Mothman Fest is the place to be. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Randy Yowie in Huntington.
With upwards of 10,000 people expected, Mothman Festival organizers suggest arriving early. Be prepared to park and walk a bit, and watch out for anything red-eyed and flying. Wild mushrooms will usually come out in the fall. A few are edible, but some are poisonous. It's best not to pick them unless you know what you're doing. To find out a little more about which is which, Roxy Todd joined a guided mushroom tour in southwestern Virginia and brings us this.
It's been raining on and off all night, and the mountains are misty as 13 of us gather in Jonesville to begin the day. This is prime weather for mushrooms.
I love coming out here. It's something that takes my brain in a different direction than my day-to-day life. So,
Elizabeth Cooperstein is a doctor by day. She's partly retired and spends some of her free time volunteering with Friends of the Cedars, which organized this mushroom hike. This land, which used to be overrun by cedar trees, is called the Cedars Natural Area Preserve. Most people call it the Cedars. Laura Young manages this forest, and part of her job is doing prescribed burns.
So this is actually only a couple of months after a fire, and you can see how much there's already vegetation that's, you know, knee to waist high out here. There's mushrooms coming up everywhere.
Young works for the Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation and says mushrooms thrive after a fire. Other native plants do too. As we head into the forest, Cooperstein describes what it was like here before they began doing prescribed burns.
It was very much overgrown with underbrush. As you can see, there's a lot of dead brush here. This part has been burned, and then the part on the other side of the trail has not been burned.
We begin to see all kinds of mushrooms of various shapes and colors. One hiker, Aaron Mazuelos, points out a shimmering clear one called a jelly fungus.
Do you touch it with your fingers? It feels really cool. It's like jello.
There are seniors and small children on this slowly meandering hike. Young says it's not so much about burning calories as slowing down and looking at what's growing.
You know, you get to see it in person, and there's a lot of value in that.
Adam Boring from Big Stone Gap is leading this walk. He explains mushrooms grow underground, so the part we see is just a piece of what's growing beneath our feet.
Nope, not hurting the mushroom if you pick it. The mushroom itself is the fruiting body, so think of it kind of like the apple on the apple tree.
Boring is a mental health therapist in his day job, but he spent the past several years learning how to correctly identify mushrooms. He shows us one bright blue mushroom called an indigo milk cap. Laura Young hands my daughter one red and white mushroom called a russula.
Do you want to throw one that will explode?
Throw it at a tree?
Throw it at a tree hard.
As my daughter throws it at the tree, it bursts into a dozen small pieces.
Do you want to see something?
Wearing a wide-brimmed hat and using a walking stick, Ronnie Branham says this is the first time he's been at the Cedars. He lives in nearby Dickinson County.
I'm a hiker, so I hit the trails just about everywhere. But I've been mushroom hunting before now, but I don't know a lot about them, so I'm trying to learn.
Teaching people what's in the forest is part of why this group organizes events like this, explains Cooperstein.
A lot of people here spend time in the outdoors because they hunt or they farm or whatever. But one of the things we like to try to do is to get people to see more of the perspective of what the benefit of having a wild place is.
They also host butterfly walks and salamander hikes. Events that help show how prescribed burning and other restoration efforts are helping bring more plants and animals back to this forest. In Lee County, I'm Roxy Todd.
That was Radio IQ's Roxy Todd. To hear that story again and more, listen to Inside Appalachia Sunday mornings at 7 and Sunday evenings at 6 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Areas of fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today. Highs in the 70s and 80s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the 50s and 60s. Tomorrow, partly sunny, slight chance of rain and thunderstorms. Highs in the 70s and 80s. Support for WVPB is provided by the West Virginia Public Education Collaboratives, K-12 Speakers Bureau. Our volunteers bring careers to life so we can inspire students to a world of possibilities. Learn more at wvpec.wvu.edu. This week's premiere broadcast of Mountain Stage features an indie supergroup that's been clawing its way through the music scene with the fun folk rock tunes off their debut album. Now that's what I call Fantastic Cat. The supergroup Fantastic Cat is comprised of some of New York's best singer-songwriters. Their performance of All My Fault is our song of the week.
This is a song about being too good at sex.
One, two, one,
hey. I could blame it on the rain. I could blame it on the snow. I could blame it on the shame of another night alone. I could blame it on you for picking up my car. But to tell the truth, oh, it's all my fault. I could blame it on the moon. I could blame it on the stars. I could blame it on the tune that was playing at the bar. I could blame it on the proof of the alcohol. But to tell the truth, oh, it's all my fault. It's all my fault that you kissed me. All my fault that you liked it. All my fault that you wound up in my head last night. It's all my fault that no other man could ever be enough. Well, it's all my fault, oh, that you're in love. I could blame it on the blue. I could blame it on the breeze. I could blame it on the bird. Forever flirting with the bee. Blame it on the roof and these four wide walls. But to tell the truth, oh, it's all my fault. It's all my fault that you kissed me. All my fault that you liked it. All my fault that you wound up in my bed last night. It's all my fault that no other man could ever measure up. Well, it's all my fault that you're in.
That was fantastic. Cat performing All My Fault on the Mountain Stage. To hear the full performance and more, tune in Saturdays at 6 and Sundays at noon right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.